Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Here's Pete and Jane on 720 WGN.
Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Our next guest is a rock star. He's the chief cardiologist at Northwestern Hospital. It is Dr. Clyde Yancey. Thank you for coming in.
Hey, man. I'm happy to be here.
Did you take the elevator up or did you run up the stairs to 18 floors?
Trying to stay warm tonight. So wherever this heat, that's where I am.
This dude's in great shape.
I mean, this is what he does. He lives a healthy life.
That's it. That's it.
Did you shovel snow this week?
No.
Did you do anything?
I don't want any. Well, I've been in the gym all week.
Of course.
But I don't want anyone shoveling snow.
You don't?
No, no. That's just a ticket for a problem. Many people that shovel snow do it abruptly, like I got to get this clear. They're not in shape. They haven't trained for it. They don't recognize how much extra work it is to do that kind of activity in the snow, that wet snow. We call that heart attack snow.
The heart attack snow.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of press releases on that this week.
And that's not a wise thing at all. Or if you have to do it, really one step at a time. Move some rest, move some rest, move some rest. But do not try to do a whole sidewalk or a whole driveway at once, no matter who you are.
Even really fit people don't even do it?
Even really fit people.
Wait a second.
You have to appreciate this weather. It's a real stress for the heart.
I'm going to ask you this, and I know what you're going to say too, because on Monday, when we got dumped on with snow, I had just come in from the gym in a really hard workout,
yep.
And I haven't shoveled snow in probably 20 years, right? Maybe even longer, because I don't live anywhere to shovel snow. But I said, I'm going to shovel this back alley. Because I can't get the car in, out, and I need this to go away before it gets icy. So I got out the plastic shovel, and I squat, and I lift, and I dump, and I squat, and I lift, and I shoveled the section of behind my garage in the back alley.
I saw a picture of it. Not bad.
Thank you. And yeah. I thought to myself, wow, I'm in pretty good shape, and I'm worried about my heart.
So really, next time you get that idea, either pause and think about something different, or if you have to do it at chunks. I mean, like, do it for a minute or two, stop, rest. A minute or two, stop, rest. You got to really appreciate how much extra stress that is.
And even if you're in good shape?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's an abrupt exercise. You have an objective. You want to get that sidewalk clear. So
right.
You're not listening to the usual signals that would make you modulate or adjust your workload. You just want to get it clear, get it done. You got to take that part in moderation, one step at a time, or preferably let it go or get somebody that's, you know, a teenage kid or something. Yeah. A snowblower is a good idea.
Snowblower is a great idea. I thought it was a good idea. I thought I was helping the neighbors. I was helping myself. I thought about you a lot when I was shoveling. I thought, what would Dr. Yancey say about me shoveling right now? But Pete, you shoveled?
I love shoveling. I love it. And I just go. I do both my neighbors on both sides. They think I'm crazy.
Yeah, so you're the prototype of people who get in trouble.
I'm that guy.
You're that guy.
I'm that guy. Yeah. There was a guy in Wisconsin. Did you read about the guy in Wisconsin?
My heart was just thinking about it.
He was shoveling. He got lightheaded or he passed out in his garage and he froze. No one found him.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tragic. But you know, the more likely issue is not the shoveling of snow. It's the exposure and developing hypothermia. It's so interesting to me. We keep telling people, wear layers, and you think you're just layering up to stay warm. No, you're layering up so you can trap air between those layers, because air is your insulation. That's what preserves your body heat. So that's why you have layers. Yes, you feel warmer, but effectively, it gives you insulation and protection from the cold. So hypothermia is a really bigger risk.
Well, so let's talk about hypothermia. So if you get hypothermia, does that then, obviously you can get frostbite, you can get a number of different things. How does it affect your heart?
So first it affects your neurologic system. You start to get sleepy, you start to get confused, and then things start to shut down. And so you have to be very, very careful when those things happen. And when you start to shut down, your heart slows down, your blood pressure falls. It's not a good thing. And the people that are uniquely at risk are the small children and the older persons, particularly older, thin people that don't have that extra layer of fat tissue to kind of serve as a bit more insulation. So I really worry about hypothermia because a lot more people are at risk for that than the shoveling snow. That message is getting out, except for you.
I have so many questions. Dr. Clyde Yancey in studio. He is the chief cardiologist at Northwestern Hospital. We also have the host of Living Healthy Chicago, Jane Monzuris. You can check that out Saturdays at 9 a.m. It's so
Dr.
funny.
Dr. Yancey's been on the show many times.
You went into Living Healthy mode. I love it.
When I was talking to Dr. Yancey.
Right now. It's like, oh, my God, there's Jane, the host of Living Healthy Chicago.
Here I am.
I've
just showed
up.
People. Yes.
These extreme temperatures. My dog needs to go out and take care of business. He just won't do it in the backyard because I live in the city and my backyard's the size of probably your master bathroom. So he likes to walk down the street. So I layered it up. Yep. I layered it up on Wednesday when it was very cold and we ran down the street. He did his business and we ran back. But there was one time, Thursday. It was this morning that he wanted to walk around the neighborhood. And I'm like, oh my God, I hope I don't get hypothermia. You know, it's 6:30 in the morning. It's probably 20 below. And I'm that's all I'm thinking about in my head. So I was thinking about the signs if I'm going to get lightheaded
You knew the signs?
Well, I knew if you get lightheaded, you got to run back home. You got to get going.
How quickly can you get hypothermia?
Yeah, so spot on with you.
That's the question. How
quickly?
Because
you want to pay attention to getting lightheaded, getting confused, because that may not just be I'm just very cold. It may be an early symptom to get into a warmer place. But it all depends on, again, your risk factor. If you're very old or very young, then we're talking about minutes. If you're very thin, we get concerned that that also can happen in a very short period of time. You're healthy, you're robust, you should be able to go for that walk with your dog. But remember, the dog needs to layer up as well.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't put a coat on Wrigley?
What a cool name.
We didn't have a coat.
What?
We were only out maybe 9 minutes. And he goes to his spot, you know, across the street and in the neighbor's yard. I pick it up, I throw it away, and we head back home.
Sounds like you're good.
Now, can dogs get hypothermia?
You know, that's a veterinarian's question, but you can certainly prevent a lot of bad things by just taking one or two extra steps. And most will say, think about a coat for hypothermia, but think about protecting their paws from the salt.
Yeah.
Oh, he does wear the booties.
Yeah.
Steve Dale, who does the pet show on Sunday mornings, told me, just try it.
Yeah. And he's fine with the booties.
He hated putting them on, but he loved having them on.
True.
Yeah.
Can we get back to people?
Yeah, let's go back to people.
So,
that's what I know.
Even tonight, we're what is it, -1 right now? It's going to get up to 5 by 1 o'clock in the morning. And we're excited. We're like, hey, it's 0. This is awesome. So before I came here, I was getting into the car, and Kurt, who's my fiancé, was standing around with no scarf, no hat, no coat to make sure I got, and he was waiting for me to get the car. I said, you need to get inside.
But absolutely.
But right now we think, oh, no big deal, it's 0. But we still need to be worried about this weather.
You sure you want to marry this guy?
Well, yeah, he's from Buffalo. He's fine. It's cold all the time there.
No, I think we have to be careful to not dismiss the risk here. And what I'm particularly concerned about is that over the next 24 to 36 hours, the temperatures will increase, but don't believe that you will be safe. Because this risk for hypothermia will persist.
So true.
And being out for a longer period of time because you think it's okay now gets us back again, not to the shoveling snow risk. That's kind of the far and few between, but to this hypothermia concern.
Can we get back to walking the dog? I forgot to tell you one thing. After we walk, we run back to the house.
It's not about the dog. It's about Pete.
Is it okay to run back in this extreme cold?
So think about your usual activities.
Okay.
And if running is what you typically do,
all right,
and you're paying attention to your body and you're being careful, then sure, it's fine. But if all of a sudden you start running and you have not done that level of activity for months, not a good idea.
Okay. Do you have a Twitter handle? Can we follow you on Twitter?
Sure you can. NMH Heart Doc.
NMH.
Northwestern Memorial Hospital Heart Doc.
Heart. I'm going to follow you during commercials.
Okay. Whatever you do, don't give him your phone number.
That's the next question I'm going
to
ask for.
I won't give it to him on air, but I'll be happy to give it to him.
Come back, we need to talk about cholesterol because high cholesterol runs rampant in my family.
We need to do that. And we also need to talk about the big news that came out today about new statistics on heart disease in this country just hours old, so we need to get to that.
Boy, that's
news.
A great teaser right there. All right.
So I told you it's good.
It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. In studio with us, Jane's friend, Dr. Clyde Yancey. He's the chief cardiologist at Northwestern Hospital. And you had some breaking news you wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a report that just came out today from the American Heart Association that says for the first time there is evidence that heart disease, established heart disease, is present in 50% of Americans today. That's up.
50.
50. That's up from higher than it's ever been before. Now, part of that is a good news story because we've redefined what qualifies as high blood pressure. And so more people have hypertension. But importantly, we've also identified that you don't need drugs to treat hypertension, at least at the first step. Lifestyle is very important.
Yeah.
Check this out. You'll like this, Jane.
I like it already.
75% of Americans now claim to be physically active.
Mm-hmm.
That is hugely increased. In the past, it was only about half or maybe even less.
Right.
But people are getting the message. Our smoking rates are down to 20%, maybe in some groups even less than 20%.
That's great.
So some things are getting through, but you know what's not getting through, Pete? We still have too much obesity, man.
Yeah.
I mean, over 40% of adults are obese.
But don't you think the obesity, part of that is genetics. And sometimes, I get it, that some people are more inclined to hold the weight on because of the genetics that they carry. Now, I know people will say you can change genetics. However, it's harder for them to live the lifestyle that they can continually be at this thin weight, correct?
So, but here's the other part about that. So I won't dismiss the fact that some people have a tendency towards being larger. That's clear.
Right.
But one thing we know for certain, no matter what your genetic background is, introducing appropriate lifestyle changes always reduces your risk of heart disease. And particularly when we're focusing on obesity, reducing your burden of obesity will also reduce your risk for certain cancers. And so there's a lot of win here. There's no reason to just dismiss it or think, okay, there's nothing I can do about it. Even a modest change, Jane, even a modest change, forget about the optics and what you look like. Just a modest change in weight makes a big difference in your health.
And that could be what you're eating. That could be moving.
Move your body.
A little bit. So I'm not dismissing it. I want everyone to be active. And I want everyone to sleep. And I want everyone to have balance and mental health and physical health and all
same
that
page,
good stuff.
Same page.
So, yes, I'm not going to dismiss it for those who say I can't do it.
But the reason my eyes looked at you like they just did is because ultimately for adults, if we're trying to modulate, trying to change weight, it really is about nutrition. And so we really have to think carefully about what we eat, how we fuel in order to be better. But the other thing that you and I have not talked about this whole conversation that reflects new information is that there are two things that we can add to the seven things you and I have talked about many times that go with health.
Yeah.
One is sit less and sleep more.
And then for everybody else, let's go through the seven because we know the seven.
Don't smoke.
Right.
Be physically active.
Yeah.
Have an appropriate weight for your height. Have a heart healthy diet, and we can talk about what that is. Have a good blood pressure, a good blood sugar, and a good cholesterol. Those are the simple seven that we've talked about for several
simple
years.
Seven.
But we've added two more things to that because we now know that if we can convince you to sit less, Jane just stood up.
I did. I stood up.
You've been sitting the whole show, and she just stood up.
Sit less. And, right. And I've been sitting, and I've been feeling guilty about it. A lot of times I stand during the day, but it's late. So I'm like, oh, I'm sitting because it's 11 o'clock at night. I want to sit down. But then he said sit less. I'm like, well, I have the opportunity to stand. I might as well. So we didn't call it the Neato 9?
We haven't changed the nomenclature just yet, but we realize we need to make some adjustments in that. Yeah.
Sit less
and sleep more.
Sleep more.
That's a big problem with me.
Oh, yeah.
Like tonight, I'm going to go to bed at 2 a.m. I got to wake up tomorrow and take my kid to school.
Yeah.
I have to because my wife has a meeting tomorrow morning.
So
I'm up and at it.
But here's the other thing about sleep. It's pretty evident now that people who don't get sufficient sleep have a little bit more tendency towards some mental
That decline. Would be me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Mental decline.
Yeah.
I'm not
Alzheimer's
kidding.
Even.
Really?
Oh, geez.
So is it
Why are you laying that on me now?
7 hours recommended or 8 hours recommended?
Eight.
No,
Who
six is good. But I mean,
I know you don't sleep a lot. You're 6 hours.
No, I don't. I'm 4 to 6, yeah. Depending on how much
six
work I've
is
got.
My cutoff. Like tonight, I'm going to get 5, but 6 is okay?
Yes. Try to get to 6. That'll
okay.
be good.
Okay, I can easily get to 6.
You got it.
Can we talk cholesterol and caffeine?
Absolutely.
We only have a few minutes left.
Oh, yeah.
I have high cholesterol. My cholesterol goes from 175 to 225. And we were talking off the air. My doctor at Northwestern is Dr. Melinda Ring. I go to her every single year. She runs my blood work. And if you don't even submit your insurance, it's $300. And it's worth it because she'll run everything. And if she doesn't do it, people that are listening right now, get your blood work done. Because they'll test your cholesterol, testosterone. If you're low in vitamins, low in iodine, I was dangerously low in iodine. I couldn't understand why I was so tired.
But let's get back to the cholesterol
yes.
piece. And by the way, when you're talking about public health messages, the two things that are incredibly important, know what your weight is and what it should be, and have your blood pressure checked. Every adult, have your blood pressure checked. But about the cholesterol, we don't focus on the numbers so much now. What we focus on is on your risk. There are some people that if the rest of their profile is lower risk, then the cholesterol and the need to treat it with medicines is a little bit less compelling. But if you are at risk because you're overweight, you have high blood pressure, your family history is strong, you smoke,
family history.
Then we have to really bring your cholesterol down and we'll use drugs for that. But many people are afraid to have the testing done because they don't want to take medicines. But realize that that fear needs to be set aside because not everybody needs to take medicines for high cholesterol or for high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Lifestyle works, and it's all based on, are you otherwise at risk? If you're not otherwise at risk, let's do some lifestyle things. Let's do some coaching. Let's help you get to a different place.
Right.
But if we know that your profile, your family history, your other lifestyle traits make it pretty clear that Pete really is at risk for heart disease, then we open up the kitty and we start doing everything we can do to change your risk factors.
I have everything that runs in my family. A heart disease, my grandfather and my uncle, my mother's brother died of massive heart attacks at, you know, mid-60s. Cancer. I have 4 cancer survivors in my immediate family, my siblings. My father died of liver cancer. So I feel like cancer runs in my family.
So there are lots of things there for you and Dr. Ring to kind of review.
Oh, because, I'm serious. We talk about it all the time.
But in all candor, we're learning so much more now about how these things run in parallel, heart disease and cancer.
Right.
And risk modification can actually lower the risk for both conditions. And so I wouldn't be fatalistic at all. We can do things to help you have a really long, healthy, productive, fun life.
And that's I love that. Thank you for saying that, because we get so upset about what we're, you know, genetically inclined to or what runs in the family, like cholesterol. So there's high cholesterol in my family, but, you know, as I stand today, everything's great. Close into my life, somebody had high cholesterol from a doctor, and he was prescribed a statin right away without even talking to the doctor. The assistant prescribed the statin, and what happened was he didn't take the statin, changed his lifestyle, got rid of the high cholesterol foods, and lowered his cholesterol by 23% because of lifestyle changes in 4 months.
Happens all the time.
Wow.
Once we sit down and we have that gotcha moment, here's a test result, here's a family history, here's someone willing to sit down and discuss things with you and make it evident that this is your first step, and if you don't want to go to step two, think about the medicines and modify the lifestyle, and let's see what happens. I've had any number of people show up 20 pounds lighter, 30 pounds lighter, 40 pounds lighter, cholesterols fall, blood pressure comes down. And if we still have to treat, then typically it's less aggressive treatment, lower doses, things that don't give you quite so many side effects. So there's a way. There's almost always a way.
Yeah, because I would rather live without a medicine.
Yes. You don't want to take medication every single day if you don't have to.
But we'd all rather live.
Yes.
And if this is what you need, based on your risk profile, let's get it done.
So for people listening right now that don't have a GP and a doctor and they don't know their information, what are you going to tell them?
I'm going to tell everyone that if you consider what you're willing to invest for your quality of life, whether it's entertainment, your work, transportation, just a fraction of that, to do the simple things, to have the conversation about weight and lifestyle, check the cholesterol, check the blood sugar, the return on that investment is enormous. Think about going out to dinner. Think about having a happy hour with friends. Think about the things that we do that we just make that a part of our lifestyle.
Right.
You can redirect a little bit of that resource and get so much important information that it can make a big difference in your life. It is possible.
Get to the doctor. Just go to the doctor. Information is power. I just don't understand people that don't go to the doctor. And by the way, my 83-year-old mother never went to the doctor until this year. She never had a GP. I couldn't believe it. Who's had 12 children. Gets her mammogram regularly, never went in for a checkup. I'm like, Ma, how do you not? She goes, I never get sick, honey. I never get sick. I go, well, you need to know your information.
Yeah, everyone has to realize that the story that Pete just shared with us, Jane, that's about 3 standard deviations from the norm.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's almost like winning the lottery. Yeah. For everybody else, get a checkup.
And get a checkup. For anything else, you have a baseline.
Yeah.
For next year and the year after, right. Get a baseline. Yeah. Dr. Yancey, you are just amazing every time you come in. Breaking news, good information.
He's not going to be your doctor.
Pete.
I have a cell phone number now. I feel like, can I go to you for something? What can I come see you for?
I take care of both ends of the spectrum, serious disease and prevention.
One last thing. I want to ask you a very serious question.
Sure.
If you go to a hospital, and you have doctors everywhere. Let's say, you know, your GP is over here, your orthopedic surgeon. How do you get all those medical records to your hospital? The reason I bring that up is because when my brother was diagnosed with leukemia, he had to go find his records everywhere because he was being treated at Northwestern.
So, Pete, you can pause right there. This is both our biggest challenge, but also our biggest breakthrough. Because with the advent of electronic health records, computer-based records, increasingly health systems that are not otherwise aligned for business reasons or geographical reasons are sharing their electronic health records with common servers. And so I'm able to open up files from many different hospitals when patients come to see me and can capture their health information from other centers, from other physicians whom I don't even know. As that becomes ubiquitous, that is to say, as it becomes across the board, that will dramatically change things and lower healthcare costs. We spend a lot of money tracking down records.
Yeah.
Once everything gets into a common, the word we would use is repository, that would make things so much simpler.
God, this guy's good.
Top 3 vitamins, multi omega 3 vitamin D?
Zero.
Oh, zero vitamins.
There's
take it from
no
your food.
Evidence.
Doctors hate vitamins.
I just
you can't ask a cardiologist.
Stop. There's no evidence.
I know.
Not a shred.
Believe me,
and
I hear this all
carefully.
The time. Yes.
It's all about your diet and nutrition.
It is. But
increased fiber?
Fiber's good. Remember those things you and I have talked about? The heart healthy diet?
Yes.
Fiber is what most people miss.
I know.
We got to take a break and go into news. But no vitamin D in the Midwest?
There is just no evidence that supplementing vitamin D makes you better.
You're going to hate
you
this.
You can spend the money.
You're going to hate this next statement. I had Dr. Oz on last week.
I know, Mehmet. We're friends.
Right.
We talk about this all the time.
He does. He said, and he says this all the time, if you can hear my voice, you're low in vitamin D.
And especially if you have brown skin, you're even lower.
Yes.
And it doesn't make a difference. And Mehmet knows
you know
I'm
what?
Right.
I love it.
We're gonna get you're going to have him on the air, and we're going to have Dr. Yancey in.
Oh, my gosh.
I was
yeah,
just with
Mehmet
in December. We would have a great time.
He's
together.
The best, isn't
oh, we're
going to
do that.
Dr. Clyde Yancey, you can follow him on Twitter, NMH Heart Doc. I love it. Thank
Thanks
you for
so much,
coming
man.
In. Thank
All
you for
right,
your
great.
Cell phone.
Oh,
it's 720 WGN.
Yeah.
News.